Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
How many of you in this place know that you are a priest? Amen. Now, I just so happen to be Greek, and you know, I can actually say that a little more. My last name is Pappas, and actually in the Greek, that means priest. Amen. So I'm really a priest. No, I'm just kidding. We're all priests. Amen. But it's awesome. I just, you know, my wife said to me this morning, don't forget that your last name actually means priest in Greek. So I was like, amen. I receive it. Amen. But the reality is, church, is that you are all called to be priests unto God. And we're going to take a look at that this morning, because it's so powerful, and I believe it's an element in the church that is so necessary for us as individuals to take up. We need to take up the priesthood that God has given us so that we can be priests unto our God. The Bible says that we are a royal priesthood, and we'll get there a little bit later on this morning. But how many of you know that you are called to be a royal priesthood, kings and priests unto our God? If you only knew how fortunate you are. Because in the Old Testament, it was a little bit more complicated than that. But let's start from the beginning. In the beginning, back in the days of old, before Moses, what would happen was the husband or the man in the house would operate as the high priest of the home. And he would go before God, and he would bring praises and sacrifices to God, and it would be the responsibility of the man in the house to hear from God. This was God's divine order. This is what he wanted for us to do. I just need to say this right here. Men, it is your responsibility in the household to be a high priest in your house. You need to go before God concerning your children. You need to go before God concerning your families. But the good news is that we are all called to be priests. Men and women, we are all called to be priests unto our God. But in the beginning, we see this. And let me give you a few examples. You see clearly in the Old Testament, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We see Job. We see them as coming before the Lord as priests, wanting to hear from God. Let's look at Noah in Genesis 8, verse number 20. Genesis 8, verse number 20. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. In Genesis 9:1, we see basically just three verses later, we see what happens. He says, so God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. So we see how Noah would go before God and bring offerings to the Lord on behalf of his family, and God blessed his household because of this. In Job chapter number 1, verse number 5. Now, many people will say that the book of Job is the oldest book in the Bible. Let's see what it says. Job chapter number 1, verse number 5. So it was, when the days of feasting had run their course, that Job would send and sanctify them. And he would rise up early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did regularly. So Job would go before God and bring burnt offerings on behalf of his family. And he would bring sacrifices on behalf of his family. As the high priest of his home, he would stand in the gap for his children. And he would make a decision that as the high priest of that household, he would bring sacrifices to the Lord. Can you say amen? We see this throughout Scripture. And then when Moses rises up and the children of Israel get taken into the wilderness, we see something shift. We see that God desires to raise up a priesthood amongst the people, the children of Israel. So God has a desire and has always had a desire to have fellowship and for his people to be priests. Now we see that the children of Israel actually didn't really receive this so well. They wanted to be, God wanted them all to be priests, but they kind of rejected this. And so God then selected the Levites to become the priests. Amen. Now, what I want you to understand is that in the days of the priesthood, of the Levites, they had one thing that was their greatest privilege, their greatest honor. The greatest privilege of the priesthood of old was to have access to the presence of God. Access to the presence of God. They had their priestly duties, which was to make sacrifices and to worship God and to come before the Lord. But the benefit of being a priest, the primary benefit, was to be able to go into the holy place. And beyond the holy place was the most holy place, where the Shekinah glory was. And while the priests would be in the holy place, the presence of God would obviously come through into the holy place. And they would be the only ones that had access to the presence of God. This was their greatest honor. This was their greatest privilege. Only the high priest had access to the most holy place, and he would go in there on the Day of Atonement, and he would make atonement for everyone. And on that day, the presence of God, the Shekinah, would fill that place like a tornado, they say. Very, very powerful. Amen. Only the priest had access. The people did not have access to the presence of God. We know that the kings were anointed to do the will of God, and that the prophets were also anointed to do the will of God. So the anointing came upon them to do service unto God. But the priests were the only ones that could have access. David was very jealous of this. He was very upset. He wanted to be able to go into the presence of God as well. And so we see David, a key which we'll learn about soon, is we see how David kind of cheats the system a little bit by worship. He understood something. He understood that by being a worshiper, he would begin to have access to God's presence. But it wasn't God's order at that time. Only the priests were supposed to have access to the presence of God. Now, what you need to understand is that the Old Testament priesthood worked with a sacrificial system, and that system ended when Jesus died on the cross. Amen. Jesus died on the cross, and we no longer need to atone for our sins with sacrifice like the priests used to do of old, because Jesus has become the ultimate sacrifice. Amen. Let me read to you from 1 John 2, verse number 1 in the New Living Translation. The New Living Translation, the reason I'm going to this translation is just because it just says it so beautifully. 1 John 2, verse number 1. My dear children, I'm writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. He himself is the sacrifice that atones us for sins. And not only our sins, but the sins of all the world. When Jesus died on that cross, what you need to understand is that the veil that separated the presence of God from the people was torn. Once that veil was torn, no longer was it only the priests that had access to the presence of God. The Bible says, Jesus said, that I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What we need to understand is that Jesus is not a religion. Jesus is the only way to the Father. So it's not about being a member of this organization or this exclusive organization. There's no other way to pray. There's no other person who gives you access. The only way that you can access the presence of God is by going through the only one who split the veil. His name is Jesus. Amen. Because of him, we now also have access to God. It is not a man, it is not a religion, it is not a saint, it is not Mary, it is no one that gives you access to God's presence except Jesus. Now, honor is something that is different. We can honor Mary for what she did as the mother of Jesus, but she does not give you access to God. Only Jesus gives you access to God. Only Jesus is the way to God. The only way, when you pray in the name of Jesus, and you have access. The only way that you are saved, the only way that you are made born again is by going through Jesus. Once you accept Him as Lord of your life. Now, what you need to understand is when you are born again, something happens. When you are born again, now you have access to the presence of God. Only those who are born again that have accepted Jesus into their lives become born again and now have this access. What does that mean? That means that at that moment of salvation, you become a priest. You become a priest. Listen to this. 1 Peter 2 verse number 9 says this. 1 Peter 2 verse number 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. The first thing you need to understand, church, is that God is busy doing something on the planet right now. He's calling His people. He's calling us to worship Him. He's calling us to praise Him. He's calling us to take up the priesthood that has been given to us, because the church in so many ways has not taken up the priesthood. The Bible says in Peter, it says that you are a chosen generation. You need to understand that you have been chosen. You have been elected. You have been selected for such a time as this. God has chosen you. He has chosen you to be a royal priesthood, to be a holy nation. He selected you. There's no mistake, my friend. There is purpose. There is destiny in your life. And it's for such a time as this. You are a chosen generation. Amen. The Word of God is so powerful. We are chosen. The word chosen literally means elected, selected, picked out. You have been picked out of the crowd. You are no longer just going by, living life, waiting to die. Now you've got purpose. Now you've got destiny. Now you've got a future. Now you've been put into a priesthood, a royal priesthood of priests and kings unto God. Now you can go and have access to the very presence of God. The greatest privilege you have as a Christian is to have access to the very presence of the Most High God. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Somebody give Him a shout. You have access. You have access to the King of Glory. There is nothing more precious than the presence of God. Oh, Father, we worship You this morning. We lift up holy hands. We are a royal priesthood. Lord Jesus, in this place. Oh, my God. The enemy will do anything for the veil to be in front of your eyes. He doesn't want you to know your destiny. He doesn't want you to know that you've been chosen. He doesn't want you to know that you're elected. He doesn't want you to know that you have access. He wants to keep you far away from God. He wants to keep you far away from the presence. Because once you've tasted the presence of God, you will be like those priests in the days of old who will just desire to go into the holy place and just do the service of the Lord. For any time that the presence of God comes around you, you begin to change. You begin to turn into the other man. You begin to be the person that God called you to be. Amen. A royal priesthood, a holy nation. That means you are not the same as this world. You've been set apart. You've been chosen. You've been separated unto Him. A holy nation. Listen, you are His own special people. That means your life is no longer your life. You belong to Him now. And when you discover what it's like to belong to Him, only then do you truly begin to live. because every one of us has a void, a need inside of us. But when you start to fulfill your destiny, when you start to go into the presence of God and discover the purposes and plans He has for you, you can never be the same anymore. You become a special people. You become His own special people. Oh God, we worship You in this place this morning. Father, I have to worship You this morning in this place. You are our awesome God this morning in this place. Father, raise us up to be a special people, a people separated unto You, a holy people, a royal priesthood in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Why have we been chosen? Why are we holy? Why are we a special people? That you may proclaim the praises of Him who did what? Who called you out of darkness. He called you out of darkness. Why do you stay there? Why do we stay there? Week after week, we preach sermon after sermon. But church, you have to take this stuff. You have to take the word. You have to apply it. You've been separated unto Him. You're a holy nation. You're a special people unto Him. Now we have to take it. And we've been taken out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now you can take that light that He's given you and you can share it with the world. The Bible speaks about a royal priesthood. The word royal is there, is the word basileos, and it means kingly. It means not only are you a priest, but you've also been given authority as a king on this earth to represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But you walk around with authority. You walk around with power. Power not only to change your own life, but to have influence on the lives of other people. And it takes a priest, a royal priesthood, to be able to speak into the lives of others. It takes a royal priest to speak life into their children. It takes a royal priest to prophesy over their family. It takes a royal priest to change their circumstances, not by might or by power, but by the Spirit of God, by His presence that you have access to, that you have access to. First Peter 2, verse number 5 says, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Listen, you have access to the presence, but that doesn't mean that you will not offer up spiritual sacrifices to God. Because as a priest, your pleasure, your greatest reward is to have now direct access to God, to have access to His presence. But you still have the responsibility of making spiritual sacrifices, just like the priests of old. Listen, redemption has been given to you. The blood of Jesus has already been paid for you. You don't have to sacrifice animals. The blood has been spilt. Once and for all, your sins are taken away. But now as a priest, it's your desire to give praises to your God, to worship your God, to come before your God, to spend time with your God, to bring sacrifices to your God that are pleasing to Him. Because you love Him, because He's so good to you, because He takes care of you. Come on, somebody. This is what John says when he writes to the seven churches. He says in Revelation 1, verse number 4, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from Him who is and was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before His throne, the seven expressions of the one Holy Spirit, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. To Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Our sins have been taken away and has made us kings and priests to His God and Father. To Him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. But if this is true, why do we walk around defeated? Why do we walk around and complain? Why do we walk around and everything's just so bad? Because we've not taken our place as kings and priests unto our God. Listen, in the presence of God, all of a sudden, that thing that's frustrating you begins to frustrate you a little less. When you're in the presence of God, that thing that's bothering you, that thing that's consuming your mind begins to go away, because in the presence of God, it's holy, it's pure, it's sanctification, it's holiness, it's the presence of God. It's your greatest privilege. It's your greatest privilege as a believer, not the pastor or the prophet or evangelist or apostle. You are a priest. You are called to be a priest. You are called to go before Him. You have access. In the days of old, they would have done anything, those who desired it, to have access, but they couldn't. But you have access. When the church begins to accept who they are, we become a bride without spot and wrinkle. We become holy and set apart for Him. If you have this picture of a couple that is so in love, a couple that so desires to get married because they just can't wait to be together in every way, every part. They just want to give every part of themselves to each other. This is how the church is supposed to be for the bridegroom who is coming. He's coming for a bride that longs to be with Him, that longs to be in His presence. You must be a priest. You must go before Him. It must be your desire. Don't forget, though, it's your greatest privilege. Listen, salvation starts, church. Yes, I know salvation is your greatest privilege. It starts with access to God's presence. When I walk into heaven, the closest thing to earth that it will be like is my prayer room. The feeling I have when I'm in His presence, that's the closest thing on this planet that can compare to what it will be like when I'm in heaven one day. Why? Because I have access in my prayer room, in church services when the glory fills the temple, while we're worshiping Him, while we're praising Him, while we're exalting Him, and everything begins to shift. That's why, listen, don't make it about religion. It's not about religion. It's about relationship. Religion won't save you. Jesus will save you. Religion won't change you. Jesus will change you. His presence will change you. His blood will change you. His name will change you. He will change you. Amen. Amen. I'm like all over my sermon notes. Praise God. Amen. So what type of sacrifices are required from us who have been called to be priests unto our God? And we've kind of spoken a little bit about this, but let's take a look at this and watch how beautifully this ties in. Romans 12, verse number 1. Romans 12, verse number 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. What service? As a priest. As a believer, you are a priest now. It's your service unto God to bring yourself to Him, not because you have to, but because you recognize, listen, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let me give you the word that when he died on that cross, he saved your life. If you make him Lord of your life, that means you give your life to him. That means you say, my life is no longer my life, God. My life is your life. Your life must become a sacrifice to God. It says that we are to be holy. Our lives are to be holy. We cannot live the same way as they live. Listen, I will not say that sin is okay. Sin is not okay. Sin is not holiness. If God says we are to be holy, that means we must not sin. But because of the blood of Jesus, he knew we would fall. He knew we would make mistakes. So we still have access. If we go to him, if you have a real relationship with him and you keep it real, your sin will not separate you when you go to him. But if you see, if you move your focus off the sin and move it onto the priesthood and the ability to go into the holy place, because you see, even the priests would wash their hands before they would go into the holy place. So do we go before the Lord and we lift our hands and we say, Father, this morning I ask you to forgive me for my sins. Lord, there are so many. I don't even know all my sins. But I want to come into your presence and I want nothing to stand before us this morning. I want nothing to separate me. Father, come and forgive me. I ask you now in the name of Jesus. That's called relationship. It's not the law, it's relationship. Amen. So we are to be separated. We are to be a holy people. But remember, when your focus shifts from trying to achieve something to going to his presence because you love him, because you want to be of service to him, those things come naturally. Moving away from sin, moving away from that stuff just comes naturally. You don't even think about it anymore. Because all you want is the presence. All you want is to be in his presence. And he begins to change you. The Bible says that it is our reasonable service to be separated unto him. It's interesting. Watch what it says in Romans 12, verse number 2. And do not, this is the very next verse. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What is that? To be a chosen generation, to be a royal priesthood, your destiny, your purpose. What is your purpose? There is where it starts. Right there. Renew the mind. How? The word, his presence, to be with him. Like I said earlier on, church, the more I pray, the more the things of this world begin to grow strangely dim. Sins, I don't even focus on them. I don't think about them. It just becomes easier. Why? Because my desire is not to not do this, but rather to be in his presence, rather to be where he is, rather to be with him, to love him, to serve him, anything to be in his presence. The second sacrifice that we make is a sacrifice of prayer. Psalm 141, verse number 2 says this, "Let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." As the evening sacrifice in the New King James. Amen. Now watch this. Revelation 8, verse number 3. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne, and the smoke of the incense, which the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Your prayer becomes like that aroma when they would make sacrifices in the days of old. When you go before God and you begin to pray and you begin to intercede and you begin to call out to him and you begin to cry out to him, it's a sacrifice. It goes up before him like a sweet smelling aroma, like an incense before him. And he just comes down and responds, because the Lord loves the aroma of sacrifice of people who desire to be in his presence. Can you say amen? Amen. I'm kind of going as quick as I can because I have a lot. We should be out of here by 3 o'clock. Amen. Amen. A sacrifice of praise. Psalm 145, verse number 1. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. Hebrews 13, verse number 15 in the New Testament. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. In the New Testament priesthood, we also lift our hands. We also clap our hands. We also give shouts of praise. We also declare with our lips the goodness and the kindness and the mercies of God. With our lips, we give praise. With our hearts, we cry out to him. It's a sacrifice of praise in the new priesthood that goes up before God. Are you guys okay? The sacrifice of our substance. Proverbs 3 verse number 9 says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase. Listen, part of your sacrifice is bringing your tithes and your offerings to God. You have to also give of your substance. Amen. As a priest, you don't only receive, you also give. Amen. We don't just come to receive, we come to give as well. Amen. The sacrifice of service. The sacrifice of service. When we get saved, we don't only get saved to just get. We also save to serve, to give, to love, to share, to be a part of the body of Christ. Colossians 3 verse 23 says, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Everything you do, when you come to church, don't have an attitude of I'm coming this week because of all the stuff I did this week to have an encounter with God and change and receive only from the church. Rather, do your reasonable service. Be a priest unto God in the week. And when you walk through the church doors, be a part of the church. Be someone that comes and serves in the church. Be someone that comes and gives in the church. Be someone that comes and changes and comes to worship and comes to praise and comes to be a part of the church. Because that's who we are. We are not only takers, we are also givers. We serve, we praise, we pray, we worship, we give, we pray, we adore the Lord. We come to him and we give of ourselves to him in Jesus' name. In the Old Testament, the priests would give of their service, but they would get all the time from the presence of God. Your provision, your well-being, everything you need will come from his presence. From his presence. And let me tell you, don't say it has nothing to do with the word. The word has everything to do with it. Because you see, the more revelation you have, the more understanding you have, the more access you have. The more revelation that comes to you, the more you understand the word, the more the word becomes alive to you, the more the Holy Spirit begins to speak to you, the more the Holy Spirit begins to work with you, the more the Holy Spirit will use you. You will have access to the kingdom of God, to the glory of God, to the holiness of God as you worship, as you become a priest and fulfill your priestly duties. Amen. It is the responsibility of every believer to be a priest and to be connected to God. It is not my responsibility to pray for you for the anointing. You must pray for the anointing. You must draw close to him. You have access. You have access. You can access His voice. You can access His presence. You can access your healing. You can access your deliverance. You can go before Him as a priest unto God, His own special people. You have access. Now, Jesus is our high priest, always making intercession on behalf of us. He's our high priest, always going to the Father. But that's why He's the only way. Amen. He's the only way. Now, I need to read something to you real quick, and then I'm going to close. Luke 4:16 says this. Watch this now. Because biblical prophecy is important. Can you say amen? Now, watch this. Luke 4:16 in the New King James. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. This is Jesus now. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Now I want to go to the book of Isaiah where Jesus read out of. Let's go to Isaiah 61, verse number 1. And I want to show you this morning how important this actually is. Because when Jesus read this, he was talking about a fulfillment of prophecy. But you must understand that as the church, it is our responsibility to take him at his word. Watch this now. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. This is Jesus. Because the Lord, now Isaiah prophesied this many years before Jesus was in the temple. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. Now watch, I want you to pay attention. Now watch what this says, because Jesus only read the first few verses, but it goes on the scripture to say this, and it's so powerful. And they, who is they? Say we. Say I am they. And they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former dissolutions. They shall repair the ruined cities, the dissolutions of many generations. Listen, strangers shall stand and feed your flock, and the sons of foreigners shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. It is our responsibility as the priests of God to fulfill part of this prophecy. We must be His priests. We must rebuild the temple of old. The temple is no longer a building. You are the temple. You are His temple. You must go before Him as a royal priesthood that desires His presence, that desires to be set apart, that desires to be chosen. And you play a part in fulfilling prophecy and destiny and purpose. Church, you have been chosen. But like in the wilderness, the Israelis went around and around and around because they didn't take God at His word. And then Joshua and Caleb stood at the promised land and said, come on, we can do this thing. Like I stand before you today and I say to you, you are a priest unto God. You must fulfill your priestly duty and you must go before Him. You have access to the presence of God. Let's be the generation that He comes for. Let's become that generation that's a bride without spot and blemish. Somebody give the Lord a shout. Yeah. Father, we are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. What you need to understand, if you've come to this place this morning and you don't serve Him, you have not been set apart. You are not a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. But it takes a decision. It takes just giving your life to Him. It takes saying, Lord, I believe that Jesus died and rose again and is the Son of God. And when you do that, you become part of this royal priesthood. If you're sitting there this morning and you say, Pastor Alex, my life is not right with God. I need to give my life to Him. I need to give my heart to Him. You know who you are. Those of you watching online, you as well. This morning, there's a cry in the heavens for those to come and be a part of this priesthood. If it's you that says, I need to make my life right, I need to give my life to Jesus, lift up your hand real quick. Let me see your hand. Let me see your hand. Lift your hands. I see those hands. I see those hands going up. I see those hands. Can you stand? All of you that have lifted your hands, everybody, just stand for me, please. Everybody that's here this morning, just stand real quick, please. If you've come here this morning, church, don't leave here the same. If you say, Pastor Alex, there's too many people standing. I can't see who's lifting their hand and who isn't. I saw people, but I want to pray for you. Don't stay in your seat. If you lifted your hand, if you know that you are one of those that needs to make this commitment to Him, if you need to get your life right, please get out of your seat and come to the front. Come to the front. Don't be afraid. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you, guys. Anybody else? Say, come. Come. He's calling you. He's calling you this morning. Come out. Come to the front. God bless you. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you. Thank you so much. Anybody else? Say, Pastor Alex, I'm also one of those. I need to make my life right with Him this morning. Those of you online as well watching. Amen. Amen. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. There will be a day where the church will be caught up . Make one more call. If you also want to be prayed for, nothing weird and wonderful, I'm just going to pray for you. You say, I need to make my life right. My life is not right with God. I need to make my life right. If that's you, don't be afraid. Quickly come to the front. Quickly come. Amen. Amen. Now, can we all pray this prayer together? Those of you that came forward, God bless you. Ma'am, sir, your life will never be the same again. Your life will never be the same again. Your life will never be the same. Clark, your life, son, will not be the same. Your life will not be the same. Your life will not be the same. For I see a dagger of condemnation that came, that the enemy brought against you, son. But God says, I will change everything for you. I will take you, son, out of darkness into my marvelous light. For the whispers and the sounds of the enemy that cries out against you, accusation after accusation after accusation. Son, do you not know that the blood stands between you and your sins? Have you not been washed, says the Lord, in my blood? Have you not been made whole, son? Yes, for son, you stand before me as a holy nation, as a royal priesthood, son. And this day, in this place, I place a garment upon you, son. A garment that will change your life forever. And you will not be the same, says the Lord. For I will take you, son. Yes, I will take you. And I will put boldness in your mouth. I will put boldness in your lips. But the Lord says, this time you will be prepared. This time you will not step out of place or out of line. For this time, says God, you will just desire my presence. You will just desire to walk with me and worship me and serve me, says God. For son, the priestly anointing comes upon you like oil this morning in this place. It pours out over your head, son, this morning in this place. And you and I will have communion in the days that lie ahead, son. For you will step forward with an anointing to break the yoke of the enemy. Destiny and purpose is your purpose. I am not finished with you, says God. I have only just begun, says the Lord. No more condemnation in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen and amen. and amen, says the Lord. Says the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Never the same. Never the same. Your lives will not be the same, says the Lord. Father, this morning in this place, I lift up these two precious people. Father, have your way. Let it be a fresh start. Let it be a new beginning. And we give you all the glory and the praise and the honor in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, I want those of you in the front here, those of you online, and those of you that stayed in your seat that know you needed to come out, pray this prayer with me this morning. Please, nobody move around right now. Please, guys. Just two more minutes and we'll close. Let's all pray this prayer together this morning. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. And I give my life to you. I give my heart to you. I believe that Jesus died and rose again and is the Son of God. Write my name in the book of life. Forgive me my sins. I worship you. I surrender to you. You are my God. In Jesus' name. All things have been made new. Amen. God bless you. Now I'm just going to close and then you can go to church. The presence of God is here this morning. I'm as your pastor, that I really love you. Take the word. Take this word this morning. And when you have a moment, go before him as a priest that has the privilege to have access to his presence. Go with your worship and your praise. Go with thanksgiving and with your prayer. Go before him and lay your life down before him. And he will change everything for you. Father, this morning in this place, I thank you for these precious people that are here. I pray, Lord, that you will bless them, that you will go with them, that you will protect them and strengthen them. And Father, that we will be the priesthood that you've called us to be. I pray, Father, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the love of the Father and the communion with the Spirit will be with everyone that is here this morning as they leave. Let the peace of God go with them. Jesus, you said, my peace I give you. My peace I leave you. Not as the world gives it. So I ask, Holy Spirit, that you will just give them peace now as they leave. We thank you. We love you. And we praise you. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.